We're live.
Live!
From the Twin Cities with the Bob Sansevier Show. Great guests, interviews, and over 30 years of sports insight.
I'm pretty good at my job.
Here's the host of the show, Bob Sansevier.
Intercepted by Hagelin. His shot is tipped in by St. Louis. Brassard plays down low. Nash scores from a sharp angle. He beats Dubnyk. Granlin gains the zone. Drops to Dumba. Dumba on the backhand. Centers. He scores! Fontaine to Coyle. A shot saved by Lundqvist. Wild control. Dumba from Fontaine. McDonough fires, tip, they score. Coyle has it, centers, and Pominville with the one-timer. And the Rangers escape St. Paul with a 3-2 win.
In other words, they didn't score enough. You know, you could hear in his voice there, he was nervous because he didn't see enough goals coming. Usually he goes nuts with the score. This, you know what would concern me? By the way, we are joined by Sam Ekstrom from the Wake Up Call on Sunday mornings. Also can watch or read the stuff he has on 105theticket.com. Hellboy, of course. David Helmer here, hitting many important buttons and producing the hell out of the show. I shouldn't say that on Good Friday. Use the H word. I'm sorry.
That's mean.
You don't eat meat on Good Friday, and you don't use dirty words or words that invoke hell. I think I remember that from Catechism. But here's the thing. First, here's a question. It's obviously rhetorical. Are the Wild a Minnesota team? Yes. Which means there's five games left. They're going to go limping into the playoffs if they do it. And when you look at what they have left, all right, they had the Rangers, who clinched, by the way, their division title. They got tomorrow night, they got Detroit. Then they have Monday, Winnipeg at home. Then they're on the road at Chicago on Tuesday, Thursday at Nashville, and then they close out at St. Louis. Every one of those teams in the playoff hunt or in the playoffs.
And just to scare you a little bit here, Bob, here's what the Kings have coming up.
Boy, it's easy as can be.
Colorado, then Vancouver. Vancouver's the toughest game they have left. Then they have the Oilers, then the Flames, and then concluding the season with the Sharks. So don't get too complacent, Wild.
No, and I'm glad you mentioned that, Sam, because right now, as it stands now, Los Angeles pulled even with Winnipeg for the second wild card spot, just a point behind Calgary. I think their better chance, the Wild could still wind up as a second wild card team, which is not a good thing because then it's Anaheim right away. I think that what they have to hope for is that L.A. actually overtakes Calgary, which I think will happen. And then they don't have to worry about L.A. with the wild. They need to be that first wild card team. That's the bottom line of it.
Right. Winnipeg's still five back of them. And obviously, if L.A. passes Calgary, then Calgary becomes the other competitor in that wild card chase.
Yep.
It's going to be tough to make up 5 points if you're Winnipeg. And it's also going to be tough for Minnesota to make up five that they're back of Chicago. So Minnesota's probably cemented in that wild card realm. So now they're just battling for that number 7 seed versus the number 8 seed. And you're right, Bob. I don't want to play Anaheim right now. Wild are winless against the Ducks this year. 0-3.
No, they have to get that first wild card spot. But this is, I mean, when you look again, if 5 games left, they've been great. But last night, again, they kept it within a goal. However, they lost.
Anaheim's going to be very rested, by the way. They have 3 games in the final 8 days of the season, and they're pretty much spaced out evenly. And the Wild are playing 6 in the last 9 days of the season.
Or they could be rusty.
Like we were last night, yeah.
Right. First period was terrible.
Thank you. What did we talk about yesterday? 4 days off, too much for Dubnyk. The magic is gone. They're done.
Came out 2 goals down. We weren't ready.
It's done. Magic's over. The elixir's done. The magic carpet ride is over. What was it? A pumpkin carriage for Cinderella? Turning back. Or it was actually not. It became a pumpkin. It's going to turn back.
Yep. The clock turned midnight.
Thank you. That's what I was looking for. 651-989-9105. 651-989-9105. If you want to check in and give your impressions of your Wild and if they're safe, if they're going to get the first or second wild card. I do believe that they will get one of the wild card spots, but the second one is not the one, absolutely not the one you want to have in the first round.
It's kind of odd, isn't it, that a team could be this on fire for such a stretch, winning 26 out of now 35 games, and yet we're still talking about the potential for them to make or not make the playoffs. It looks good, obviously, but you know that's what you do to yourself when you have a 20-game stretch like they had mid-season.
Yep.
And I wonder how long fans will tolerate this from Wild teams, because it's three straight years with Mike Yeo now. We've hated him. We've loved him. He's been the savior. He's been the villain. We can't figure this team out. So, does Yeo deserve the coach of the year for the turnaround, or can you give it to him knowing that he's part of the reason that they were in such a bad spot?
Well, here's the best thing they have going for him with the schedule that they have. Now, Detroit is pretty much... They need a win because they're in a battle to stay in third in the Atlantic Division and not be a wild card themselves. And if they actually, if they get right now, they and Boston have 93 points. Well, over in the Metropolitan Division, Pittsburgh is at 95 points. They're in a battle to make the playoffs in a sense. So that's not a team. But as you go through Winnipeg, I think people figure at home they'll be okay with Winnipeg. Chicago, that could be a tough one. But Nashville might be resting guys, but it's because they're not going to do better. I don't think they're catching Anaheim. And if they're in good shape with St. Louis and have that first, that second spot locked up by then, they may be fine with resting guys, putting their backup goaltender in. We have who's on the line?
It's our boy Chad and Blaine.
Chad, how are you?
Good. So,
yeah.
Since we got a loss last night, I mean, I hear a lot of people are like, well, I don't know, they might slide in, oh, they look rusty. I mean, it sounds like everybody's so quick to get off the bandwagon. They played an extremely good team yesterday, and we so easily forget we're a really good team ourselves. Our depth is extremely deep. I mean, there's a lot of guys like Cook and Haula that can easily step in if someone gets hurt. I mean, this team is better than people are giving them credit for.
Chad, but the point we're making is look at the finishing schedule. And I'm trying to figure out which teams may not be in a position that they have to win, that they might be resting guys. Nashville looks like the one, and when they play St. Louis, and that, you know, if St. Louis knows exactly where they're going to be, but you look at it, it's so bunched. Nashville 103, St. Louis 101, Chicago at 100 points. Those teams are battling to see that. I mean, there is nothing guaranteed about there. In the Central Division, and go ahead.
I agree, but I mean it's the same thing as, like, I don't know, was it about a month ago where it's like, oh man, the Wild got a really tough schedule on the road, and they just came out and blew everybody away on the road. You know we're struggling at home a little bit, but I just think everybody is so pumped. You know, I just think that this team is way better than that, and I think their confidence is a lot better than people are giving them credit for.
Chad, you know what we're doing? You and I and Sam and Hellboy, we're just giving different twists on the same reality.
I understand.
Yes, because, I mean, yes, when you looked at their schedule before, oh, but it's going to be a tough one. Well, this is going to be a tough one. They may overcome. They may go 5-0 to close out the season.
They play the better teams tougher than they do the easier teams. I almost rather play the tougher teams.
Well, you got that.
I mean, like, we lost to Buffalo, for crying out loud. But then we come back and I can't remember who we played back-to-back, but, I mean, we came back and won two games on the road against two good teams. It's like, wow. You know, so they play to the level of their opponent, I guess.
All right, now, Chad, let me ask you this question. Off of hockey and off of sports, are you taking the weekend off? Because Chad is someone, he stepped in with us early in the week and sat in. Or do you have to work this weekend? Are you driving any celebrities around?
I am not driving this weekend, so I am spending some time with family.
Good for you.
With the holiday weekend, so.
And are you going to watch the Final Four?
I am going to watch the Final Four. Yes.
And who are you picking? I remember who you said the other day. Are you Kentucky?
Oh, I told you the winner comes out.
Of course,
Wisconsin.
All right, that's right. Now
you're taking Duke, which
I am taking Duke.
The defense, I think, between Wisconsin and Kentucky is way too tough.
Well, you know what? Let me give you something that, because we had on Debbie Jones, the mom of Tyus Jones and Trey Jones, and Debbie, I talked to her afterward for a story that it's now online, I believe, for the Pioneer Press. Marcus Fuller wrote something about Tyus, and I talked to Debbie again. Debbie made an interesting point, and it may mean nothing, but sometimes these things have some meaning. Do you recall who Apple Valley, with Trey Jones as a starting point guard as a freshman, played in the state championship game?
Ooh.
Do you remember the undefeated team they played, Champlain Park? And what happened?
Yeah, well, they won.
Apple Valley beat the undefeated team. And she just pointed out, you never know. Maybe there's something about this year that her sons will be playing undefeated teams and beat them. You never know if that'll happen, but it could. It's just interesting.
Really?
You know what I mean?
Really
that.
Well. Yeah, absolutely.
What happened with Trey? Hey, Chad, great talking to you. Have a great holiday weekend. Actually, have a great Easter. I got to get off of that whole thing because I don't know if you two are like this. Sam Ekstrom, Hellboy. I have been drilled into being so politically correct that I don't say the holiday. Have a happy holiday. Well, have a happy Easter. Have a happy Passover. Now, are there any other religions that recognize around this time of the year?
I don't know. I don't believe so.
Well, if you do, have a happy one. But, I mean, to say just a happy holiday, you got to identify what that actual day is.
Good Friday.
Good Friday today. Now, are you both, I don't know if you're both Catholic boys or not, either one of you?
No.
Well, do you believe in not eating meat on Friday? I don't know if that's a Catholic thing or just a Christian thing.
I've never abided by that.
Heathen.
The meat.
Pagan.
I failed.
Honest to God, when I fish you can do. I have carried guilt for days after doing it on good because my mother would scold me, my grandmother especially.
Really?
If you ate, but when I was growing up, it was every Friday you weren't supposed to, and then the Pope said, just Good Friday's good enough because nobody was doing it. But I mean, if I can't make it through, me of all people who loves pizza, if I can't get through a Friday without a day filled with pizza, there's something wrong. So I'll happily, skip some chicken for pizza.
I would too.
So it can't be pepperoni. It has to be.
Nope. Got to be. Well, I don't see
cheese.
Okay. Sam, you need to know this about me. Anything but cheese on a pizza is bastardizing the pizza in my mind. Some people go with the whole, they put on the pineapples and they put on all the other. I don't like sausage. I don't like pepperoni. I like cheese. It's just cheese. You want extra? I want extra cheese. It's just the way I roll.
Yeah, that's your old Chicago order. Extra cheese on the pizza.
Exactly.
I remember.
See?
We shared one time.
See, and how was it? Was it tasty?
It was delicious.
Because there was nothing else messing with the succulence of the taste of that pizza. And by the way, speaking of old Chicago, every Wednesday, I'll be Apple Valley this Wednesday, every Wednesday I'm there from 5 to 7. They have drink specials. We do trivia, give away tickets. We gave away Twins tickets, T-shirts. It's a lot of fun. I'll be doing that over the next couple of months at a different Apple Valley, a different old Chicago location, Apple Valley next Wednesday, and we'll be hitting all of them. Their pizza is terrific. So, anywho, let me ask you two guys, Final Four, where are you going? Kentucky? Wisconsin? Scotty?
I'm sticking with Kentucky. I don't know why I'd change my pick now. I picked them at the beginning of the year.
You are you just get on the – you're jumping on the lead
horse. I picked
them
at the beginning of the year.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did. When you look at any sport, I try to narrow it down to four teams, especially in college basketball. It makes sense because it comes down to the Final Four.
You picked them before they played a game.
Yeah. Pick Kentucky?
That's still
Louisville,
not very original, though.
Duke and Wisconsin.
Okay, let's get it right now. Who's going to win the World Series? We're going to put you this way. We have it marked down already.
Well, I hate the Red Sox, but I think they might be poised for a huge,
first.
Not
huge comeback.
Yes or no? Are they going to win the World Series? Who's winning the World Series? You said you picked the Kentucky. Who are you picking?
I said I narrowed it down to four teams.
No. Don't give me that hedging. Who's it going to be?
I'll just pick
Boston?
The Red Sox. Right. Might as well.
Okay, Alicia.
That's actually fairly bold. I mean, most people would go with the Nationals or the Dodgers. Yeah. Maybe the...
The Dodgers, they get to the playoffs and they fail every year.
Yeah, Kershaw can't pitch in the postseason.
Yeah, you could go ahead and pick the Giants to come back, but, they're an every other year kind of team.
Right.
And the Nationals, they are... pretty much do. They keep putting together this great team. They have a very good pitching staff. But I think just the fire sale that the Red Sox did to get people back in return and set themselves up for this year, I could see them going worst to first and pulling it off.
Some people think the Nationals will go 162-0.
There's a lot of NL people. East is so bad.
Yeah.
NL East is just a
business. There's a lot of people on the Nationals. It's a trendy pick this year.
Who do you like to win the Central, Bob? Quickly, I'm curious. AL Central.
The AL Central? We're talking, obviously, baseball here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course we are. I actually think that it's going to be Detroit again because I still think that they – I don't think they've fallen off that much. Chicago is – I love Jose Abreu.
So do I.
But I don't – I still think that the – I think what they need to do, and they need to do it early, they need to go from Nathan to Joakim Soria as their closer because they're going to – they will get – bit in the ass many times if they wait too long to do that, because I just don't trust them anymore. But if they make that move, I would feel a lot stronger about it.
Yeah, I agree. I don't feel like Scherzer's loss is going to affect them all that much. They've obviously still got Verlander once he gets off the DL.
Price.
They've got David Price, who's a phenomenal number one.
He actually, when he came in, he struggled a little bit with him. But I think he's going to be fine. I really think he's going to have a hell of a year.
Yeah, well, he's a twin killer. I think he kills
a lot of teams.
Two complete games against the Twins last year.
He'll kill more than one. You know, we need to take a quick break, and we're going to be joined by Dave Schwartz from Care 11, the number 11. You know what? Sam is here. It's Good Friday. Sam's going to be coming in and out with us all afternoon. So we'll have Sam Ekstrom from the wake-up call, also 105theticket.com. Hellboy, who are sticking his nads on the line by saying it's going to be Boston winning the World Series.
Am I making like $1.05 for the 105 bet? If I win that?
We didn't bet that one. Here, you want to bet that, too? What was the other bet we had? Oh, I took Duke. You took Kentucky? Is that what it was? I don't remember.
Yeah, I gave you 5.5.
Gave me 5.5.
I have Wisconsin, by the way. I didn't get that in. Badgers.
So you're going to – what? How much are you giving them? What are you giving him to have the Scotty?
3.5.
3.5 for a buck, buck five, 105?
All right.
Are you on? It's done. Okay, you're going to be 210 in the hole come Monday. Take a quick break. Come back with Dave Schwartz from the number 11. Be right back.
Down.
Well, now I can barely hear it. No. We are joined. Hopefully he likes his walk-up, talk-up. Dave Schwartz from Care 11. Dave, how are you?
Good afternoon, Bob. How are you?
Not too shabby. I want to get your impressions on the Wild. We were talking about that in our first segment. They've got almost a hellish finishing five games. And suddenly, L.A. is looking pretty good, that they may be battling them even for the first wild card spot. Or maybe L.A. moves into that third spot, and it's Calgary and Winnipeg they then battle. But how do you see these last five games going? I mean, they played a good team last night, lose 3-2 in the Rangers. But when you got Detroit, Winnipeg, at Chicago, at Nashville, at St. Louis, I'm thinking it maybe by the the last couple, Nashville and St. Louis, if everything sorted itself out where they're going to be in the standings, they may be resting guys, and that could very much be to your Wild's advantage for the first wild card spot.
Yeah, I mean, to me, they got to win one at least two. I think you got to beat Winnipeg just to stay ahead of them in the wild card, and so I think. Detroit and Winnipeg have to be wins, and there's no doubt about it. You got to win those first two games because that last stretch at Chicago, at Nashville, at St. Louis is just horrible. And those teams, you know, Chicago definitely, I don't know how St. Louis and Nashville at that point will be jockeying, but I'd be surprised if we didn't see Chicago's best. I mean, they probably won't have Patrick Kane yet, but, you know, there's a chance you get St. Louis relaxing and Nashville taking a break in the last game of the season. But, you know, last night, I was impressed with the way they handled themselves after the loss. It was one of the first times in recent memory that I can remember talking to guys after a loss and, you know, having them believe that the sky is falling because they finally have a little bit of breathing room, at least a little bit of room for error, and they're still going to make the postseason. So they knew the Rangers were good. The Rangers are the best team in the East. They are one of the best teams in the league battling for the best record. So I think the fact that they were in it, there's no such thing as moral victory in the NHL, but at least the fact that they were in that game, they played well against on the penalty kill. I mean, they killed off five of the Rangers' six penalties last night, one of which was a 5-on-3. So it wasn't an all-around terrible effort. It was just a slow start against a really good team that's not going to let you get back in when you get down on them.
Well, here's what I just took a look quickly at Calgary. See, Calgary is a big player in this, too, because I'm fully expecting when we looked at the schedule for L.A., for the Kings, that they will wind up the third team in their division. And then it's Calgary and Winnipeg and the Wild for those two wild card spots. Calgary's got, they're at Edmonton, that should win, but they've got Arizona. Then they have L.A. and Winnipeg, so when they meet Winnipeg in the last game, one of them's going to knock the other one off, which actually could decide that second wild card spot, if not, probably not the first, and I don't think they're going to beat L.A. That's a big game for them,
too. The Wild is they get Winnipeg next week,
yep.
Although he's not the biggest player in the world, but they get Winnipeg without Dustin Byfuglien, which, granted, it's not their best player, but he is an impact guy, and he's suspended for a couple of games. And so they will not have to worry about him, which is a good thing. Maybe not; it's not going to push the arrow one way or the other. But it's nice to at least not have to see him and his massive shot.
Yeah, and the fact that they have to play two teams that are factoring into this in L.A. and Winnipeg for Calgary, I think they're still going to be all right. But you're right. If they can knock off at home, get Detroit and Winnipeg, they're fine. They, you know, at that point, then they're at 99 points.
Yeah,
they're not going to be caught if they get there.
Even if you don't lose all of the games, you know, even if it's just one win, I still think they're in. But you win two, and you can relax those last couple of games and play a little bit looser.
But I also think, though, by the end, right now it is bunch. 103 for Nashville, 101 for St. Louis, 100 points for Chicago. That could be settled by the time they even play Chicago or go to by the time they're at Nashville, or certainly by the time they're in St. Louis. I think that should pretty much have sorted itself out, but it does remain to be seen a bit.
It's very interesting how the schedule was made. I mean, it you know, you got back-to-back nights, you know, a number of times, then 4 days off in between games, and then boom, 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 you know, back-to-back. You know, they're not back-to-back, but, you know, to finish the season on the road, three straight games. There's no perfect way to make the schedule, but the Wild certainly didn't get any help from the scheduling makers the last 2 weeks of the season.
Now, Dave, let me ask you, because Nashville, St. Louis, Chicago, give me each team who they would prefer. I'm guessing they'd love to see Nashville if they're the top-seeded wild card team, Nashville having the second-best record. And there really is nobody in the Pacific Division that's going to challenge for that. I mean, it's not going to happen, even if it's beyond the second-best record. Vancouver's got 95 points. So what I'm getting at is Nashville, St. Louis, Chicago, the likeliest team that who's the best team for them to face? Nashville?
I think it's St. Louis. I mean, I think that the fact that they've owned them this year, they've beaten them at home, they've beaten them at their place, I think they're in their heads a little bit. And St. Louis's goalie situation has been suspect at times. Nashville's got Pekka-Rinne, who's one of the best in the game. Chicago's is so hard to beat in their own building.
Yeah, you don't want Chicago.
Patrick Kane's coming back. So, I mean, it's the least of the evils, but I think they've owned St. Louis this year. If I'm a member of the Wild, I'd rather play the Blues.
So it would be Blues, Nashville, and Chicago in that order if you had to face them.
Oh, you know, it's...
Because it'll be one of those three.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say I'd almost rather face Nashville last because it's just so hard. It's just so hard to solve Pekka-Rinne. And there's a chance that you can catch Chicago on an off night. And they have at times, but it's close one way or the other with those two.
They've done pretty good against Nashville this year, haven't they? That's my recollection.
They have. I'm trying to remember if they played them without him at one point. But Rinne, they actually sent Nashville into a little mini spiral a couple weeks ago when they went on their road winning streak, the Wild did. But they've since righted the ship a bit, Nashville has. So I'm just, for me, anytime you run up against a really hot goaltender in the NHL, it worries me. Case in point, what the Kings did last year with Jonathan Quick.
Now, Dave, do you think the 4 days off in any way impacted the outcome of last night's game?
I don't. I don't buy into that. I think, you know, if you're too tired for a game, that's one thing. But I don't think 4 days off and even 2 days away from the rink is enough to really mess with your game that much. These guys have played so much hockey at this point in the year. They take a little bit of rest. They come back out. I don't know if maybe they underestimated the Rangers coming in off of that, you know, they beat Winnipeg. It was a tough game. It was a one-goal game just two nights earlier. But they just got off to a slow start. And the Rangers are a good hockey team. And they possessed the puck really well, and they did that last night. I mean, they hardly ever gave up the puck in the zone. And so I think they just came out slow. I don't know, for whatever reason. I don't think it has to do with a four-day layoff, because hockey's hockey. The only thing 4 days get you is rest. If it's an Olympic break or if it's a two-week break, that's a different story. But 4 days away just doesn't seem to me like it would be enough to put rust on.
But, Dave, it could be the mojo. That mojo's gone. It don't come back.
You know what? And that goal that Rick Nash scored on Devin Dubnyk last night was arguably the worst one he's given up since he's been here. And Rick Nash, 41 goals this year. He's a phenomenal goal scorer. But it was no angle. It was kind of a fluky goalie goal, went right up over his shoulder. He just didn't get there in time. And that's something we haven't seen a lot of Dubnyk this year. So,
Dave, I'm telling you.
If there's any sort of rust there, maybe it's with them, but I don't know.
If I had any doubt, it was confirmed by Austin Powers. Mojo's key. Got to have your mojo or you're done. So, hey, Dave, have yourself a great great day, a great weekend. Always great talking to Dave Schwartz from Care 11. And you know what? Monday, come Tuesday, we'll have a much better handle on exactly where this team is going to be. As a matter of fact, we'll know after Saturday night against Detroit where exactly they're going to be.
Book your tickets.
Will you travel with the team?
I sure hope so. We haven't gotten that far yet, but I sure hope so. It's the hardest run in the world to play off hockey, but it's so much fun. There's just nothing better because it's the late nights, but it's so much fun. It's so exciting. You get into it. You're with these guys every day. You know, you're embedded with them, and it's a lot of fun.
Well, then I'm going to ask you this question. Rank for me the cities you want to go to in order. Chicago's number one, there's no doubt, right?
It is for
of
me,
those three.
I've been there a lot. I like to go places I haven't been. Chicago would be number one. I would probably pick Nashville next because I've never been there. And then St. Louis is probably three, although I do love barbecue.
I don't mind St. Louis at all. I do like Nashville, though.
I've never been to Nashville, but I
great. There's great barbecue there.
I've heard great things about it, so it would probably be Chicago, Nashville, St. Louis for me. Although if Anaheim were to squeak in, I wouldn't mind a trip to California this time.
Well, you'd love to get the years, go to Disney World.
I'll take it. It's tough, but I'll do it.
All right, Dave, thanks so much. Again, Dave Schwartz from Care 11. Right. Great talking to you. We're going to take a quick break, and upon our return, we will do a little threesome. Three questions, three answers. You can join in, 651-989-9105, 651-989-9105. And by the way, if anyone would like to go to Running Aces, they have a comedy show coming up. We got some tickets for that. Give us a call. We're in a give mood. If you want us, come on and say hello. Say hello. If not, we'll give you the tickets anyway. Because we want to make people happy. It's a holiday weekend, and that's what it's all about. Right? Right?
Sure.
You know what? Because it's a Good Friday, I'm not going to call you. I'm going to call you Heck Boy, not Hell Boy.
Oh,
because, you know, we don't want to.
Sweet.
Well, Heck Boy for the rest of the day because we don't want to use that H word. The H. How old were you the first time you heard H-E double hockey sticks?
It's probably like four or five.
Yeah. Those are the people you stay away from as you get older. So, Heck Boy, we'll be right back with a little threesome.
Magic number.
We're joined by Sam Ekstrom. 105theticket.com. Sundays. 8 to 10. The wake up call. He's got the laughing man. The laughing man. Tom Schreier. Now, do you guys feel pressure to not. Neither one of your laughs can match up to that.
I never laugh. I just stay morose the whole time because I don't want to be compared. To the legendary Tom Schreier.
You're the Abbott to his Costello.
Yeah, I'm the deadpan.
I'm the straight
never
man.
You know what? A straight man is key to any comedy act. There aren't many Bud Abbotts out there. Although with Laurel and Hardy, neither one was the straight man in that act, and it worked.
I'm all about the dry humor.
Dry humor's good,
and that's then Tom laughs at it. Works perfectly.
That's why I like Heck Boy so much.
Oops.
He's very got the dry humor going and cooking. Just a couple of quick thing in particular. Tiger Woods is going to play at the Masters. Who ever thought he wasn't? You know, it's breaking news around Twitter, USA Today. Breaking news. The breaking news would have been if he said he wasn't. That would have been a much bigger deal. He's not going to pass up the Masters.
Would the breaking news be Tiger Woods decides he's going to miss the cut at the Masters this year?
Yeah. The breaking news is that he actually finishes in a shot for the money on Sunday.
Breaking news is if he finishes 4 days of golf without having a back spasm. Good grief. He leaves every tournament now because he comes back too early.
But you know what? If you're Tiger Woods, if you made a deal with somebody, I'm not saying the devil, but somebody, and you were told when you start out, people are going to say the greatest golfer ever. It's going to look like you're going to shatter Jack Nicklaus's record, and you get to where he is, who wouldn't take that?
10 years of dominance. You know, if he hadn't had the fall from grace in the public eye, maybe I would take that, but I feel like his reputation was so tarnished in that period.
I think that's why he fell. I think it was more that early than it was the injuries, because he had never gotten the type of flack he got. He was always adored by people.
He was invincible.
Not no more.
He was almost... an angel in terms of his off-the-course behavior, and then suddenly it all came crashing down. That's got to affect your psyche, especially in a mentally fragile sport like golf.
No, there's absolutely no doubt about it, and I do think that before the injuries, and now, you know what, the injuries have become convenient. If he's not playing well, oh, the back. You know, I'm not sure how many of those actually are the injuries and just that his, as you say, his fractured psyche actually coming through. But he does, if he's going to be at the Masters, there's going to be, it changes the storyline and everyone will be watching for him not to make the cut. Which, again, it's what it's been happening all too often. Imagine, just think of this though. One of the greatest players in the history of the game would be Phil Mickelson had Tiger never been born.
And also amazing, it's been 7 years since he won a major tournament. Seven years.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That's close to a decade.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem like it's... It's been about 7 years since the one iron came out from the misses, too. I think they coincide.
Yeah, they did.
All right, we've got a little threesome to do. Who you got? What do you got?
Hello, Bob. I have three questions for you. Number one, who will win this weekend's final four games and why?
Duke, because I picked him in my bracket.
But there's two games. She said final four games.
Oh, all games. Plural. Okay. Kentucky and Duke.
So your reasoning was Duke because you picked them?
In the bracket, and I never am wrong in my bracket.
Okay.
No, I like Duke. I think they match up well with them. I think Jahlil Okafor, we keep hearing about the young players from Kentucky, and again, because they're undefeated, but the three best players on Duke are freshmen also. Justin Winslow is phenomenal, and I mean, obviously, I've said it plenty of times. I like it because I know, and we've met Tyus Jones, and I've said this about him. He is a better young man than he is a basketball player, and he's a phenomenal basketball player. He's just a great kid, and I think he's going to have a great weekend. I think all three of those guys, and Jahlil Okafor, Tyus Jones, and Justice Winslow are going to have a great weekend and a Monday night also. And I do think, I'm not sold on Wisconsin losing to Kentucky, but I am still saying it'll be Kentucky against Duke. And I'm going with the Debbie Jones way of thinking. Her son Trey led Apple Valley over an undefeated, then undefeated Champlain Park team. Well, I think Tyus is going to lead Duke over a now undefeated, still undefeated Kentucky team. You guys are Kentucky guys, though, right?
No, I'm a Wisconsin guy.
That's right, you're Scotty.
I'm Wisconsin. I'm on the Badgers bandwagon. I think Sam Decker is playing the best of his three-year career thus far. Frank Kaminsky is a phenomenal offensive player, and he's going to stretch out Towns and Cauley-Stein defensively because they're going to have to guard him on the perimeter. That's something they're not used to doing, guarding a seven-footer who can shoot the three ball. Wisconsin is incredibly good at slowing a game down and making other teams play their style. I do think the Badgers are going to give them a heck of a game if they don't win. It's definitely going to be close. In the Duke-Michigan State game, Michigan State's on a roll, and I had them in the Final Four as well, but their bigs can't compete with Jahlil Okafor. They've got Gavin Schilling and Matt Costello. That's not going to work. Okafor is a 70% shooter in the paint. Absolutely going to abuse them, I believe. And obviously, Tyus Jones, fantastic on the perimeter. Justice Winslow playing great ball right now. The Cinderella dream will die for Michigan State.
Well, and I think that's going to die for Kentucky, too, because these are all kids that played against each other in AAU basketball. And Okafor and Tyus and Winslow, they were dominant against many of these kids are going to be seeing this weekend, the younger ones anyway. What do you got else? What else?
What's number two, will the Patino father-son rivalry get done? And would it be good for Minnesota?
I'm assuming you heard about that.
I didn't understand the question. What was it?
Patino wants to have a three-year series with father and son. Or will it get done, and would it be a really good thing for Minnesota?
Not at all, because they're going to get their ass kicked every time they play him. Dad likes schooling son. I don't disagree that they should. I think they should do it because I think it's good. The fans would want to see it. I mean, I think it would get good crowds, but they can't have it at a hangar every year. I mean, they're gonna have to play them some of these games at Louisville and something here. But it's not bad for the program. But I don't see him. Whatever. Let's put it this way: if they play three, it'll be 3-0 for Daddy. Well, Daddy Patino.
The idea is to start this year with the ACC Big Ten Challenge, have them play on a neutral court, and then have a home and home the following two seasons.
So that'd be 4 years in a row that they play him because they already got crushed by him this past season.
That's not changing. You know what Dad's doing? He just wants to pad that record. And he's trying to rope his son into it and get him involved in it. And by the way, the silliness of both of of Richard Pitino's name coming up for a lot of these openings that have come up. He's never going to be in the running for these jobs. I mean, Shaka Smart's going to Texas. That makes sense because he has a record. All Richard Pitino has, really. And I think he's going to be a good coach, but he won an NIT. Woohoo.
And it's not football either. Going to Alabama or Tennessee in basketball is not as illustrious, I would say, as being at a Big Ten school. Big Ten is better than the SEC, obviously, with the exception of Kentucky.
He's got a great job here.
Yeah.
Tubby had the opportunity to go to Alabama, and he turned it down for smart reasons.
And Tubby's a Southern guy, too.
No, I mean, this really, a Big Ten job in the Big Ten. Okay, if he got things rolling, is anyone saying that Tom Izzo made a mistake going to Michigan State? I mean, if you can get your team going, you are and look at Wisconsin. Two of them are in the big dance, in the finals of the big dance, in the Final Four, Wisconsin and Michigan State. It's a great conference. And it's a great, in some ways, it's become a better, Ohio State did all right, but it's becoming maybe as good a basketball conference as a football conference.
Certainly the top teams. Yeah, the top teams are very elite. Last year, three of the final eight teams were from the Big Ten. And with the addition of Rutgers and Maryland, you have so many teams that there's obviously going to be five or six, doormats every single year. But the well-coached teams at the top, Thad Matta with Ohio State as well. You've got Maryland. They're going to be a top three, top five team in the Big Ten for years to come. It's a good conference, and the teams are, and there's a lot of doubt whether the Big Ten would be able to compete this year, and I think they showed a lot of people wrong.
And also, the Big Ten starts to do its math better, because before you know it, it's going to be 30 teams in the conference. You got one more?
Yeah.
And
throw
finally,
it out. We'll give you
what
a quick
are
answer.
You looking forward to the most? The Final Four, opening day of baseball, or the Minnesota Wild trying to clinch a playoff spot?
You didn't mention the Masters in there. I'm looking forward to that. Actually, I'm looking forward.
That's farther away.
Okay, too far away. Final Four national championship game. Watch Duke win.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. Take a break. We're going to be back with @Kelly in Vegas. Kelly, I want to ask her if she got in on that Michigan State deal like the guy did. $1 million he could win if Michigan State wins. An owner of some hotels out there. Plunk down 20 grand, can make $1 million. We'll be right back with Kelly at Kelly in Vegas. We are joined by Kelly. Kelly in Vegas on Twitter. Check out her her Twitter page. She can give you some great advice on gambling. Now, Kelly, I just came across something on Twitter. A couple of things, actually. The first one, claiming that more people filled out NCAA brackets than voted in the last election. I actually could believe that.
I absolutely believe that, based on who's in office. Oh!
Kelly, I think I learned everything I need to know about you politically.
Yeah, I'm pretty much an open book politically.
Now, and the other thing, though, is I noticed you just had a little while ago a friend of yours, I'm guessing, Vegas bound with my K-State boys. Kelly in Vegas, you in town. Now, you are a K-State, you love K-State because you went there. So I'm guessing you're going to have a few more later nights than usual with a K-State crowd coming.
You know, it's so bad because I was like, yes, nobody's in town this weekend. I can stay at home and watch the games on my couch. Never fails. There's always somebody in town, which I'm not complaining, but sometimes the liver needs a little bit of a break.
Hey, you're still young. Your liver's going to hold up for a while yet.
Good. It's my liver's got another 30 years.
Yeah.
No big deal.
Easy. Now, here's the bet. Did you get in on the, and this happened where we met at the Golden Nugget. They took the bet, the $20,000 down on Michigan State winning it all, and if the guy wins, Michigan State wins, he gets $1 million. Do you know that guy?
Actually, I've met him once. He's actually a good friend of the sportsbook director, Tony Miller, who, as you know, that's how I met you guys.
Yep.
Through Tony. Tony's a good friend of mine. It was really funny because Jimmy Fallon does that thing where they let the puppies out and the puppies pick the national champions.
Yeah.
So I text him and I go, you even have puppies rooting against you. And he goes, I know. And I said, what are you going to do if he wins? Because they're friends. And he goes, I'm going to come work at KellyInVegas.com.
Well, he might have to, because he did have to make the phone call, Tony Miller, to, as you said, runs the sports book at the Golden Nugget. He had to call the owner of the Golden Nugget. Is it Fertitta? I don't know how you say his last name.
Yeah, the Fertittas own it, actually, now. And
okay.
They're the same ones that own a lot of local casinos out here.
But, okay, they gave the okay, but they're not going to take the rap for this. If they lose that million, they're going right to Tony and saying,
yep,
why did you even bring this to us?
Yeah, they are going to. At a point in time, sportsbooks are able to buy off of games and kind of move money around. that amount of money at the Golden Nugget is going to be a little tricky, I have a feeling. I could be wrong. They could have a lot bigger bankroll than I know of. But as of right now, there's a lot of Duke money coming in. So hopefully, even if Michigan State gets past Duke, which I'm a little leery of them actually winning the game, I think they're going to cover the game. But if they actually win, he's going to have to find something. Somebody's going to find a way to buy off.
There's not, I don't think there's any chance of them winning at all. But, see, I think the best thing for Golden Nugget, people are reminded about Golden Nugget. They also are,
absolutely,
hey, this is a place I want to go. They take stupid bets. So I think this is, in the long run, this will be good for them.
But so many, I mean, we've talked about several times how many sports books are kind of, for lack of better words, just aren't, they're wusses these days. They won't take certain total bets on college basketball. They won't take a certain amount on the side because we've seen in the past where they get beat up pretty bad. So what for them, they're the ones taking the money. They're allowed to set the rules. So the fact that Tony took this bet and it is making national headlines for, you know, for the, speaking of more political things, for all the people that don't want sports betting to be legalized, look how popular this topic has been over the last 3-4 days that it was on, you know, Good Morning America shows like
that's
that.
That's great.
That prove that America's interested in things like this. So I think you're right. I think the just the publicity alone for the Golden Nugget is going to be huge.
Where do you go? I mean, do you go to the Golden Nugget a lot, or do you have like two or three preferred places to place your bet, or
you
does
know,
it matter?
I do like Tony at the Golden Nugget because Tony will take my bet. Jay Cornegay is also a good friend of mine over at the Westgate. He's also not afraid to take some big action. He took my action on the Super Bowl. He was probably really happy because, you know, they didn't let Marshawn Lynch run it in, so he didn't have to pay me any money. But, you know, there's a few sports books. There's a local sports book called South Point I go to a lot. Jimmy Vaccaro, the very famous bookmaker in town, he takes some bets as well. So those guys are pretty good. There's a few others that I'll go to because they're close to my house, but those are my three main spots.
Now, what makes you decide where you're going to go, and where will you go this weekend, or have you already placed your bets? For Saturday.
I actually haven't. I was hoping there was going to be some more Wisconsin money line tickets pouring in. I don't think they're going to move the line to 4.5 on the Kentucky-Wisconsin game. Obviously, you guys know that I like Kentucky, so I'll probably wait a little bit closer to tip to bet it just in case some of those big tickets pour in. But I'll probably be at the Nugget again with Tony. Last weekend we had a blast, and he always takes good care of me.
That's a nice place. It's a nice sports book. I like that sports book.
It's a small sports book. Everywhere is a good seat, and, you know, they have newer TVs. So a lot of the times you'll see that some of the sports books need to be revamped. That's not the casino's first priority a lot of the time. So their TVs can be older or just not as good a quality with the new HD and everything that's coming out. And Tony's got brand new everything in there, so it's really nice.
Now, Kelly, Heckboy, I won't call him Hellboy because it's Good Friday. Heckboy and I have a bet. We're jumping ahead to the Monday night. He's taking Kentucky. I'm taking Duke. He gave me 5.5. You think I'm okay with that, or did I go too low? Should I have asked for more?
You probably should have asked for a couple more points.
Ah!
Duke at 5.5 is, I don't hate that bet. I think it's going to be closer to 7, but we'll see. I mean, it all depends on how this weekend plays out. If the Wisconsin-Kentucky game is a lot closer than I personally think it's going to be, that you could be right on that 5.5. I think Kentucky's going to win by probably, if I had to say, 7, 8, or 9, somewhere in that realm.
So
if that happens and Michigan State plays Duke really tough, we could see a 7.5, 8 possibly on that game.
So I should start laying off some of the buck of five. We did 105 because that's where we are, 105 the ticket. So I should start laying off some of the $1.05 that I'm betting. This way I can get some help.
I like that he gives out nickel lines. Maybe I should start betting with Heckboy.
Now, the other thing, and by the way, keep this in your, put this little bee in your bonnet to remember this one. Debbie Jones, I talked to her the other day. We had her on as a guest. She's the mom of Tyus Jones and a kid named Trey Jones. Trey's a freshman point guard who could actually be better than Tyus.
Wow.
Apple Valley is where he played. He led them to a state championship this year, and Debbie pointed out, because I was talking about Kentucky and Duke, her son Trey led his team to a win over a Champlin Park team that was undefeated. It could be a trend in the Jones family of leading their teams over undefeated teams.
That's an interesting thought.
Just keep that in mind when you're making your bet come Monday night, if it's Duke
and
Kentucky.
Yeah, Monday night, I haven't even looked yet. I'm going to wait until Sunday, have a nice Easter brunch, and then I'll start looking at Monday night's game. Because right now, I've got Kentucky on the brain, and I need to win some money.
O'Kelly, I hope you win the money, but you also said something that is very near and dear to me. Where's the place to go to brunch on Easter Sunday? Or any day? I mean, the brunches. When you're talking brunch, you're talking buffet or just brunch?
Like a brunch with, you know, out here in Vegas, there's a lot of transient population. So, unfortunate for big family holidays like Easter, Christmas, Thanksgiving, people don't always get to go home. So, me and a few of the girls, we're going to go, actually, speaking of the Fertittas, we're going to go to one of his other hotels called the Red Rocks. They're doing an Easter brunch at a restaurant called Hearthstone. So, kind of, our Vegas family is going to get together and, you know, enjoy some company and celebrate the holiday.
Well, I hope you have a great holiday. Have a great day watching tomorrow. And like I said, have a great Easter. And we will talk to you. We'll talk to you next week. Maybe we'll pester on Monday. Maybe we'll wait till Tuesday after it's all over.
Absolutely. I'll be available.
Love talking to you. Kelly at Kelly in Vegas on Twitter. You must check her out because she knows her stuff. It's the best way to put it. You do know what you're talking about. Anyone that listens knows that, and we're going to get you that regular Fox gig yet.
I know. Football season. That's the goal.
That's what we're working on. All right. We'll talk to you later, Kelly. Have a great weekend. Thank you.
Bye, guys. You too.
All right. We're going to come right back, be joined by Marcus Fuller from the Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com. I talked to Debbie Jones. You and me talked to Debbie Jones. He talked to Tyus Jones. So we'll hear what Tyus had to tell Marcus, and we'll talk to him about what's coming up this weekend, and also the Patino deal you were chatting about. Marcus would be on top of that. We'll be right back.